Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Redford Township, Michigan, and earned a BS degree in business administration from Wayne State University and a master's degree in taxation from Walsh College. He's an accountant by day and an entertainment mogul by night, as he's the president of Proctor Financial, Inc., and the founder and chairman of Imagine Entertainment, Inc., which has 18 theaters and 204 screens in Michigan, Illinois, and Minnesota. His name, Paul Glantz. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Paul Glantz, founder and chairman of Imagine Entertainment, which has 18 theaters and 204 screens between Michigan, Illinois, and Minnesota. Paul, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. I'm delighted to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Absolutely. You know, I had a wonderful childhood. You know, I come from pretty modest stock. My dad drove a Transamex truck. My mom worked as a laboratory technician, and she worked before most moms worked outside the home. But it was because, candidly, my dad's work wasn't very steady. And though he worked hard, he had the misfortune of working as a Teamster truck driver for three different companies that went out of business through no fault of his own. And so my mom was really the most stable breadwinner in our family. But, you know, I was their only child. They loved me dearly. And I tell people, particularly young people, when I have the privilege of speaking to them, Jack, that the single best thing that ever happened to me was to be born to Jack and Pat Glantz, because they just adored me.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Well, I think I learned my industriousness from my mom. My mom was very hardworking. There's no question about that. You know, she worked outside the home. She maintained our home. And my dad had the world's greatest common sense. You know, not a formally educated guy. He had graduated from Henry Ford Trade School. And so my dad was very smart, but he didn't have a formal education per se outside of trade school. But boy, did he have good common sense.
What did you want to be, Paul, when you were a kid?
You know, Jack, I never could really figure that out. It took me till about the age of 50. And then when I got to age 50, I said, well, I guess I'll just keep doing what I'm doing, because I can't figure out what else to do.
Some would say you're still trying to figure out what you want to be. So
I understand.
Did you love and did you go to many movies when you were a kid?
Oh, I did. My mom was an avid moviegoer, and I would join my mom at the movies. And I remember, you know, some wonderful times together and in some really what I'll call palatial theaters of its time. And we had a wonderful time going to the movies together.
You went to Wayne State, then you got a master's in taxation from Walsh College, and then you had another blessing. You went to work from 1984 to 1988 for Bill Pulte and Pulte Homes. Tell us about Pulte Homes.
It really was a blessing. There's no question about it. And, you know, I ran into a gentleman the other day who was our chairman at the time, Jim Grossfeld. And, of course, he and Bill built this really terrific company. And they had a lot of success hiring young guys with, and gals for that matter as well, who had backgrounds in finance. And so being a young CPA, they hired me and they thought they could mold me. And that's really where I learned the insurance business. I was Pulte's first corporate risk manager, which meant I was buying insurance for the company. And it was a terrific opportunity for me to extend my career and my education. And it was really a family. I mean, I felt so welcome there. It was a wonderful experience, Jack.
It was a family. They had a special culture. Talk to us about the culture of Pulte Homes.
Oh, my word. You know, I absolutely adore Bill Pulte. And, you know, his way of doing things, his culture was about doing right by others. And it was a value that, candidly, I hope I'm carrying with me in my business career today as well. But, you know, they built terrific homes throughout the country. And many of them, of course, were for first-time home buyers. And these were affordable homes, but homes that were very well constructed. And so it really was a privilege to work for Bill and his family business.
We're talking to Paul Glantz. Paul, what's the biggest thing you learned about leading a team of people from Bill Pulte?
Well, I think you have to lead by example. I think that's what Bill taught us all. You know, and Bill certainly demonstrated that in his daily life. A man of honor and grace and good manners. But what I also adore most about Bill is that he's so down to earth. You know, Bill, I think. We could, not that I know what his net worth is, but I'm guessing he's a billionaire. And he would talk to us today just like we're talking between the two of us right now and treat us just like, you know, we were his own son.
In 1990, you became the CFO of Proctor Financial, Inc. Tell us about Proctor Financial, please.
Proctor, at the time, was a family-owned business as well. And because of the training I'd received in insurance and finance and tax and so forth, I came and joined the company as its CFO. And so it was really an ideal fit because the product line that we specialize in to this day is called lender-placed insurance. And when I interviewed with Tom Proctor, Tom subsequently told me that I was the only candidate he had talked to that actually knew what lender-placed insurance was. And I knew what lender-placed insurance was because when I had the privilege of working at Pulte, we had a captive mortgage company. And at ICM Mortgage at the time, we utilized lender-placed insurance. While I wasn't familiar with the product, or let's say, I guess I should say, I wasn't directly responsible for the product, I certainly was familiar with it. And, you know, that was before the Internet, Jack, so I had to go do research on Proctor's competitors before I could interview effectively with Tom. But, in fact, I did so. And so I had the good fortune of joining Tom and on October 15th, 1990, and I'm still there today.
You may have been the only one interviewing that knew what lender-placed insurance was, and you may be the only one listening to the show this evening that knows what is lender-placed insurance.
Lender-placed insurance is a backup property coverage that's used by banks, organizations known as mortgage servicers, and it comes into play and it provides property insurance over a particular home or commercial dwelling when the borrowers fail to, in fact, insure the property. You see, it's a requirement under every mortgage that you make certain covenants to your lender. And among those covenants, you promise to insure the property because, of course, if it burns down and it's uninsured, the likelihood of you continuing to make your payments is pretty low. And so we offer what we call a compliance product. And lender-placed insurance is designed to ensure compliance when a borrower fails to do so.
You've been the president of Proctor Financial since 2007.
That's correct. I have been. It's been a real privilege.
We're talking to Paul Glantz, an accountant by trade. When we come back, we're going to ask him how he ever got into the cinematic industry. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Paul Glantz, who's an accountant by day and an entertainment tycoon by night, a.k.a. Clark Kent Superman. How, Paul, did you ever get into the movie business?
Well, Jack, you know, I wasn't lacking for self-esteem going back into the late 80s, early 90s. And I had a partner at the time, and a couple of young CPAs thought they knew everything there was to know about business, but there was only one drawback. We really didn't have two nickels to rub together. And so we began, after we departed from public accounting practice, looking at business opportunities. We looked at restaurants, bars, dry cleaners, you name it, any type of small business that we could get our foothold in. And it was fascinating because we met with several owners of these small businesses, and they would kind of wink at us and tell us, you know, it makes more money than the book show. And that was a problem for a couple of guys who didn't have much money because we couldn't buy what I called phantom cash flow. And so I came across an ad in the Sunday Detroit News for a one-screen movie theater in Clarkston, Michigan, and it was called the Clarkston Cinema. And the really fine folks who were operating the Clarkston Cinema wanted to sell the business in order to use the capital from the Clarkston to expand their theater in Fenton, Michigan. And so we met with Dean and Diane Kitchen, lovely people. I'm still friends with them today. And it turned out that we were able to reach an accord. And, of course, the motivation beside them wanting to sell the Clarkston to fund the Fenton Cinema was that they didn't like their landlord. Now, I don't mean to disparage the gentleman, but ultimately we learned to not like him as well because he spent a little time in a Michigan penitentiary. But that aside, we reached an accord with Dean and Diane. We purchased the Clarkston Cinema, and we purchased it with proceeds that we were able to secure under our credit cards, and we obtained a bank loan. And so the capitalization of our $125,000 business at the time came from $50,000 we borrowed on our credit cards and $75,000 we borrowed from Comerica Bank.
We're talking to Paul Glantz. Paul, talk to us about the magic of movies.
Well, it really is special, Jack. You know, it's a form of storytelling. It's telling a story on the big screen, and you know, today it's evolved into a matter of a entertainment experience, and that entertainment experience has to be favorable because there are so many competitors, direct and indirect, these days, that we have to make it an exceptional experience, not only with what's on the screen, but also with the creature comforts and the food and so forth. And so that's why we've led the charge in terms of adding power reclining chairs in our markets. And why? Because I kicked myself. I used to think it was rude for people to put their feet on the chairs in front of them when I really should have recognized that the most comfortable seating position, particularly for watching a film, is with your feet elevated. And so lo and behold, that's what we're offering these days.
Talk to us about the role movies can play and do play in young people's dreams.
Well, I hearken back to and think about the films that that children, you know, and young people see, and they adore them. You know, one of the interesting stories of our business history is that when we opened our first theater in Birch Run in 1997, business was very slow, and we struggled. In fact, the bank was very gracious in renegotiating our debt, allowing us to do interest only for a period of time. But what saved us, and literally 1,600 people gave up their lives so we could survive financially, was the film Titanic. And I remember going up to Birch Run, to what was then Cinema Hollywood, today Imagine Birch Run, and I met a gentleman who said he had not been to a movie in 45 years. And then I met young girls who said they'd come to see the film 13 times. And so that film obviously had a special place in many people's hearts.
Southeast Michigan today, you and your team, 9 venues, Birch Run, Canton, Clio, Macomb Township, Novi, Rochester Hills, Royal Oak, Saline, Woodhaven, with 103 screens. And in 2012, you introduced Dolby's revolutionary Atmos sound systems.
Yes, it's what they call an immersive sound system. And it used to be that, the sound all came out of the front speakers. Well, now, not only do they come out of the front speakers in the form of a speaker that provides dialogue, but subwoofers and so forth, and you have many surround speakers, which allows for Dolby surround. But now the next iteration in sound is what we call immersive sound. And so we have speakers not only the front, the back, the sides, but now we've got them in the ceiling as well. And the beauty of it is that producers and directors are mixing films to that standard. And so literally you feel like you're immersed in the sound itself. It really is a spectacular experience to enjoy that type of sound system with your film.
Paul Glantz, do you think that they'll ever come up with a sound system where the kids listen to the mom and dad and the husbands listen to the wives?
We can only hope, Jack. we can try that.
It's a journey. All right. Imagine Theater in Royal Oak. This was an entertainment venue that you created at 11 Mile in Maine. You've got a sports bar and restaurant. You've got bowling alley with 16 lanes. You've got upstairs for the High Roller Club. You've got 10 theaters. Where did you come up with that idea and why?
Well, it was kind of pragmatic. You know, we always loved the idea of putting a theater in downtown Royal Oak. We thought it was very much what we call an underserved market. And in fact, I would say that we were not mistaken with respect to that. It is an underserved market, and we're serving it today. And so it was pragmatic, though, from the perspective that the folks from whom we were purchasing the land had more land than we could put movie theaters on. You see, movie theaters require a lot of parking, and there's a parking ratio that generally is ascribed to movie theaters. And so it turned out that we could put a movie theater of a certain size in the venue and meet the parking code, and then we had all this extra land. So what do we do with the rest of it? And I came upon a consultant who I befriended, and Jerry suggested to us that folks, particularly families and couples, want to go out and spend more than just 3 hours of entertainment on a weekend night. And what they would really like to do is to extend that out. And so the premise was that folks would come bowling, they would enjoy a bite to eat, and then they would go to the movies all in one venue. And in fact, that's what we enjoy today.
And you do a lot of birthday parties, reunions, family parties, etc., at that 11 Mile and Main Street.
We do. It's really an event center these days. We do lots of those events and corporate outings as well.
Speaking of event centers, let's talk about the Novi Theater. You combine two theaters. It's the largest screen in Michigan, 86 feet by 50 feet. Cost you $1.5 million to renovate it, that special sound system, and you got 300 seats. Can you make money on 300 seats?
Well, believe it or not, we will. And while it's not open yet, it's under construction as we speak, and we're going to be combining those two auditoriums, and it should open this summer. I'm very optimistic about it. And it has to do with the fact that, you know, folks come out to see what I call tent pole or event pictures these days. And these are folks that are, you know, they can't wait. They want to see the film on opening day, and they want to see these big action pictures like Batman, like Marvel pictures and so forth. They want to see them on a really big screen, and that's what we're going to give them. We're going to give them a really big screen with some really awesome sound.
You're old enough to remember Ed Sullivan, a really big show tonight. So, all right, Paul, talk to us about your 1,500 teammates.
Oh, Jack, I can't begin to tell you how fortunate I am. You know, the most important thing in our business, and it's true of every business, and I think it's certainly true at both Proctor Financial and at Imagine, is that I have teammates who genuinely care and have empathy for our clients and or our guests. And that's the single most important thing for any of us, is to genuinely care about other human beings. And, you know, my teammates, it's just astounding the kind of feedback I get from guests who say how far out of the way one of our teammates went to care for them, or what great service they gave them. And, you know, and I'll get emails about how I lost my wallet in your theater and your manager helped me find it, or I lost my watch and your usher helped me with a flashlight and we located it. You know, without my teammates, Jack, I'm nothing. And, you know, one of the things I learned a long time ago is that virtually all success in business is born out of driving value from your teammates, because needless to say, I can't pop popcorn, usher the auditoriums, do all the things myself today. But my job is to set the tone from the top. It's to create a value system and to demonstrate that I genuinely care about them, and hopefully in return, they're demonstrating that to our guests.
You refer to them as your ambassadors. The majority of these 1,500 people are part-time high school and college students. And Paul, you pay them more if they get great grades. Why do that?
Well, it's been a long-standing policy of ours, Jack, that we take the responsibility for teaching our young people life skills, you know, the responsibility to show up on time for work, to be polite and kind to our guests. And what we found was that young people who perform well in school can actually be our best teammates. And it has to do with the fact that they're being taught responsibility at home. And so as a responsible student getting good grades, you're more inclined to be a responsible teammate of ours. And so we reward them economically for that type of performance. And again, you know, we're looking for young people who are involved in extracurricular activities like sports, cheerleading, debate, you name it. And the premise is simply this: if we can get a young person to give us one day a week, then we're happy to put them on our team. And, you know, and again, it's what I would call a training job for the most part. And there aren't, you know, an overwhelming number of career positions in our company, in that company in particular. But the truth is that, you know, the young people come and they learn these life skills, and hopefully they learn how to get along with others and know how to serve customers so that they'll gain skills that'll carry them throughout their lives.
If you want to learn more, www.imagine-entertainment.com. Imagine-entertainment.com. We're talking to Paul Glantz. When we come back, we'll ask him what's his all-time favorite movie. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Paul Glantz, founder and chairman, Imagine Entertainment. Paul, movie mogul that you are, what's your all-time favorite movie?
Well, Jack, you've noted that I'm an accountant by day, and I am. And so you won't find this to be any surprise, but my favorite all-time movie of all time, of course, is The Shawshank Redemption. Because while Andy Dufresne was arguably a banker, he was doing tax returns for the guards. And, you know, I admire, you know, the stick-to-itiveness, the grit that Andy demonstrated in the most harsh environment possible, prison. And so I'll watch that film anytime it's on TV.
Going forward, you now have started to focus on luxury movie theaters, where you're purchasing and refurbishing ex-Kroger stores, Farmer Jack stores. Tell us about that first venture in Macomb Township.
We purchased a Kroger store, a defunct Kroger store, at the corner of 23 Mile and Hayes in the summer of 2014. And we thought there was an underserved market out in Macomb Township. And the premise behind buying the defunct Kroger store was that defunct grocery stores typically don't have great reuse opportunities. They have too much depth relative to the amount of frontage. They are too square, so to speak. Yet we can use that space. And so you've got a fine concrete block building. You've got a good roof over it. You've got plenty of parking and site work paid for. And Kroger, of course, had moved across the street to build a superstore. And the last thing they wanted to do was to sell or lease their building to a competitor, which would have been a natural. Or alternatively, we've seen grocery stores go vacant for years. Sometimes they end up as Big Lots, Salvation Army stores, and so forth. All of those are relatively low-value uses for that real estate. Well, we had the idea that we could actually repurpose this Kroger grocery store into a luxury movie theater. And in fact, we did so because I've got some brilliant folks on my team. My VP of technology, in particular, David Zylstra, looked at that building and said, we can lay this out. We can lay it out, and then we can excavate within the foundation lines in order to create the proper sight lines. And so that's exactly what we did. We had competitors telling us that it couldn't be done, but the truth is that we laid out the building, we excavated within the foundation lines. And by the way, Jack, we removed an enormous amount of fill dirt from inside that building. I think we had 160 gravel trains of dirt that came out of that building in order to create those grade changes. But the end result is something that doesn't look much like a Kroger today, except produce is still in aisle 9.
The second such store was in Frankfort, Illinois, 70,000 square foot ex-Dominic store with 10 theaters. And next week, you open the third luxury super venue in Saline, Michigan, ex-Farmer Jack, 10 theaters. Tell us about that one, please.
Saline's very exciting. We're friends with a fine family known as the Jonah family, Arkin and Renee Jonah, and their sons and daughter are in the real estate business. And so we've gotten to know them over the years. And Arkin and his family owned a shopping center out in Saline with a vacant Farmer Jack in it. And so we were approached, and they said, hey, we're having trouble leasing this. Would you guys like to put a theater here? And, of course, we did our due diligence. We evaluated the trade area population to ascertain whether or not we would be able to enjoy sufficient patronage to justify the capital expenditure. And, in fact, we felt quite good about it, and we've gone forward with the development. And so, as you say, we're going to open on March 18th to the public, but we're going to have a wonderful charity fundraising event there on March 17th to benefit two terrific area charities. One is the Foundation for Saline Area Schools, and the other beneficiary is the Saline Social Service, which is a social service club that helps people in need in the community.
If you want to know more about that inaugural charity event on March 17th, go to www.supportfsas.com. Supportfsas.com.
Yes, that's the charity website, and we're excited to have as many people as possible come out and support those fine charities. And Jack, this is a tradition with us. We've been holding charity grand openings for every venue we've ever opened, and it serves us well because it allows us the opportunity to ingratiate ourselves in the community. It allows us to give back to society, and it's a great way for these charities to raise money because we pay for everything. 100% of the ticket sales go to the intended purpose, to the charities themselves.
When we think of movies for decades, we think of Hollywood. The Disney studio sold $7 billion worth of tickets to movies in 2016. I think that was 26% of the collective U.S. Theater revenue. Talk to us about the Disney studios, Paul.
Boy, Disney is a juggernaut these days. There's just no question about it. They have a creative pipeline, Jack. Their intellectual property is second to none, and they really know how to make films that appeal to the public. Now, none of them bat 1,000, just like none of us bat 1,000. So they'll follow one off occasionally with a particular film. But boy, are we fortunate to have Disney.
Speaking of a juggernaut, the Star Wars series.
Yes, that was a stroke of genius by the executives at Disney to buy that from George Lucas. And so they're going to be, Disney, will be now releasing a Star Wars film pretty much every holiday season for the foreseeable future. And boy, you know, folks are Star Wars fans. I'm a Star Wars fan. And so folks come out to see them in droves.
If Disney had met you before they met Harrison Ford, you would be Harrison Ford, Mr. Glantz.
I'm not sure about that.
Anything is possible.
That's true.
All right, when you think of Disney, you also think of animation. Talk to us about today's animated films.
Boy, animated films are a big segment of the market these days. You know, folks bring their children, and grandparents love to bring small children to the movies. And, you know, it was fascinating on Saturday night. I was out in Saline at an event, a charity event, and I ran into an old friend of mine, an attorney by the name of Brian Amon. And Brian's a granddad now, and he was showing me a photograph of his twin grandchildren that he had taken to Imagine Canton, and they were literally fixated on the popcorn warmer. They'd never seen so much popcorn in all their lives, and it was the cutest picture you'd ever see, Jack. And, you know, I think that's how memories are made. That's what, you know, movie going is supposed to be. It's about creating life experiences and great experiences for grandparents to bond with their grandchildren and parents to bond with their children, like I did with my mom.
We're talking to Paul Glantz, and Imagine Entertainment enjoys the honor and distinction of being named Detroit's best movie theater for several years running by the Detroit Free Press, the Detroit News, WDIV. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Paul Glantz, founder, chairman, Imagine Entertainment, and also president of Proctor Financial, Inc. We mentioned Harrison Ford in the last segment. He's money in the bank. Why has he been magic movie after movie?
You know, I would say that not only is Harrison Ford a terrific actor, but, you know, directors have identified him and found some really compelling stories for him to appear in. You know, the whole Indiana Jones saga, Star Wars, and so forth. There's a guy who has been privilege to appear in some terrific films, and has done an outstanding job in the films he's appeared in. So it's a match made in heaven. I think our trade association, the National Association of Theater Owners, actually recognized Harrison as the star of the century in the 20th century for the box office results he produced.
Another one that's been magic, the late, great Robin Williams from here in town.
Yes, from the Detroit area. And of course, you know, Robin was known for so many fine movies. You know, Mrs. Doubtfire comes to mind, and Tootsie and things like that. And so we certainly miss him, don't we?
Yes. Bill Murray from the South Side of Chicago.
I love Bill. And you know what I like? I can't remember the name of the film, but it was it had a military theme to it. And boy, was that fun. I have an enormous admiration for Bill Murray.
Julia Roberts.
Well, Julia, you know, was in one of the best all-time hits of all time, Pretty Woman, right? And she's made many other films besides, so I certainly have a warm spot in my heart for Julia Roberts.
A new star, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, you know, I was doing a little research in preparation for the show and looked up Jennifer's accomplishments. And boy, between the Hunger Games films and others that she's appeared in recently, she is by far what you would call the box office money in the bank these days. Terrific actress. Wide range of acting skills, too, you know, to be able to play in Hunger Games and then play in dramas as well. You know, other dramas that really are outstanding.
This coming year, 2017, what do you predict will be the mega film, be manna from heaven for you and your movie tycoons?
You know, if I had that crystal ball, I could actually place bets on it in Las Vegas. But we are what I call lowly retailers. We're going to put everything on the screen that Hollywood purveys to us, and then we're going to hope to heck that something works out. But I've got a list of films that I could share with you and be happy to do so that I think are going to be particularly strong this year. And among them, I would count Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, another Alien picture coming out called Alien Covenant. We've got a Pirates of the Caribbean coming back with this summer. And of course, this Wonder Woman movie plays off of the Batman versus Superman film that Warner Brothers had out just about a year and a half ago. And so now what you'll see is that studios will take a small player in a particular film, and they'll evolve that into a feature-length film. So that's how we're going to see Wonder Woman this summer. Then, of course, we're going to have fun summertime pictures like The Mummy. We'll have another Transformers film. We'll have a Spider-Man picture with a new actor playing the role of Spider-Man. And then finally, we'll have another Planet of the Apes film, because that genre has come back. And so I'm optimistic about the 2017 film lineup. I think it's going to be another good year at the box office.
Paul Glantz, please tell us that you love popcorn.
Boy, do I ever love popcorn. I adore popcorn.
How often do you eat that popcorn?
Well, it's pretty hard to go into one of our theaters and not order popcorn. That I can tell you for sure. And I make it at home, too.
All right. In an earlier segment, you talked about that movies are all about storytelling. Talk to us about the art of storytelling.
Well, the art is really in appealing to folks' emotion. It's not about just simply articulating a story, but it's tugging at people's heartstrings. And I think that that's what good directors know how to do.
These luxury theaters that you're now focusing on, they're costing you $12 to $16 million each. And anybody that listens to you and observes you says, Paul Glantz is a servant leader. He really cares about his people, his ambassadors. Does that style of leadership still work going forward?
I think it's the only style of leadership that works going forward, because we know that all success is born out of serving others. And we know that both from our business at Procter, where we put our clients' interests above our own, and we should know that, and I think we certainly do know that, and imagine where this first and foremost goal is to serve our guests and give them an exemplary entertainment experience. And so I see my role, Jack, as serving my teammates and guiding and mentoring them, teaching them so that they'll be able to carry forward that value system and they'll be able to demonstrate that type of leadership in dealing with our guests.
I quote you now, when somebody asked you once how you want to be remembered, quote, as one who pursues the golden rule. Another thing you've said, Paul Glantz, is, quote, knowing what you don't want can be as important as knowing what you do want.
Yeah, it's absolutely true, Jack. I mean, I have the privilege of speaking to young people quite frequently because of my association with Wayne State University and Walsh College and Oakland University. And I tell people that they should go take on internships. And the value of an internship is to figure out if that's the type of field you'd like to pursue in your career. And in fact, I was very fortunate when I was going to college to have pursued an internship that led me to understand that I didn't necessarily want to work in that particular industry. And so that's how I became a CPA.
You talk to young people about entrepreneurship. What's the basic point you want to get across to them?
Well, that it's all about serving others. You have to think about the needs of your guests, the needs of your consumer. You've got to put that first and foremost. And I had some fun recently. I was visiting with some fellow board members, and we have an innovative medical technology product is coming out. And we were talking all about, it'll be a disruptive technology. We were talking about the fact that we have to be careful to price it at a very good point because, the incumbents, the entrenched provider of the service today will retaliate. And ultimately, I tell you that story because this is about thinking ahead. It's always about thinking ahead one step and saying, what is it that we can do that's better? How do we create a better value proposition? Put yourself in the place of your guest or your client and think about how they would feel or how they would like to be treated. In my book, if you can do that, then you can do really well as a leader.
As our time winds down together, Paul, what advice would you give to our young listeners this evening?
Well, Jack, I would tell them to pursue their passion, to do what they love, because if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. You know, that's really my story. Folks wonder, well, why do you still have a job, a day job, and then lead a movie theater business at night? It's because I love what I'm doing. And so I think that's the single most important thing we should tell young people, is to pursue their dreams and to pursue their passions in life.
Paul Glantz, it's amazing what you are doing, you and your team, but more amazing is the manner in which you're doing it. Please keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Pezzulla. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.